Well, welcome back to the Archaeology Nearly Weekly News. I am, of course, David Connolly. This news is brought to you in partnership between Stone Pages and the British Archaeological Jobs and Resources website. And, of course, all the stories have been collected from various sources. And to view details in each story, including the source, please see the Stone Pages website at news.stonepages.com. Now, before I get started, of course, for this week, I'd like to do a big, I suppose what it's called in the vernacular, a big shout out to everybody. That's everybody that was at the Rampart Scotland Archaeological Field Training School in East Lothian. We had an absolutely great time with some great people, and I hope you're listening here, but a big thank you to Michelle, who gets me thinking and who, I have to say, seems to know an awful lot more about things than I do. So it was great to meet you, to meet David, to meet Aurora, I mean absolutely everyone. Can't mention you all, but we found amazing things, and that is the thing about archaeology. It's all about going out there and finding it. So we found Bronze Age arrowheads, thank you Susan. We found palisade trenches. We found ditches and platforms, Neolithic scrapers, and more of the fabulous black gold that makes it all worthwhile and allows us to date these undated sites. So anyway, enough of my excitement. Thanks again to everybody. Let's get on with what is happening around the world now. Well, we'll start with some amazing excitement here with a Mesolithic open-air cemetery. It's the first ever found in England. Then we go to a major Bronze Age city-state being unearthed in Jordan. There's an ancient child burial site found in Siberia, and news about how populations intermixed well after migration out of Africa. There's a story about prehistoric relics hidden beneath Scottish seas, and prehistoric Indian relics are also discovered during an oil spill clean-up. Ethiopian lake sediments reveal the history of African droughts, and on a smaller scale, a dig starts at a Bronze Age roundhouse on Dartmoor in southwest England. 5,000-year-old skeleton is unearthed in northern Italy, and we trace back history of human evolution at Mungo in Australia. 25,000-year-old bones are discovered in Colorado, and not quite so old, ancient human remains are found at a Brock site in Scotland. A British schoolboy discovers a 4,000-year-old arrowhead, and dancing shamans are found carved upon ancient Jomon Japanese pottery. So let's get started. And remember, you could be listening to this on the Stone Pages Archaeo News app, as well as keeping up to date with the news as it happens. Recent radiocarbon dating of two skulls found in 1928 at a sand quarry in the Grey Lake Nature Reserve in Middlezoy in Somerset, in England, has revealed them to be 10,000 years old. Since his discovery, the skulls have been held at Bridgewater's Blake Museum. The county council said the find was made under its Lost Islands of Somerset project by a team investigating the archaeology of the Somerset Levels. New findings show that by around 8,300 BCE, hunter-gatherers were burying their dead on what was once an island amid the levels. All the other human remains from this early period in Britain have been found in caves, such as Aveline's Hole in Somerset. That makes the burial ground in Somerset the oldest UK open-air cemetery ever found. Dr. Richard Brunning from Somerset County Council Heritage Services, who is leading the Lost Islands for Somerset project, said it was amazing news and was just the result they were hoping for. This shows that a Mesolithic hunter-gatherer group was operating from the island and burying their dead there. Such open-air cemeteries are extremely rare in Europe, and now this is the only one known in the UK. I think you said that before. Anyway, flint tools were also found in large numbers on the site in the 1950s, suggesting that it was used as a long-term campsite. The Lost Islands of Somerset project team will carry out more analysis on the skulls and tools to ascertain how this ancient community lived and died. Now, in the South Jordan River Valley lies a very large imposing mound or tell site. Surveys and recent excavations have revealed that the tell consists of a long history of human occupation dating back to at least the Chalcolithic period between 4,500 and 3,600 BCE. Archaeological investigations have revealed that the site is ringed by a 6-metre-thick wall dating to the early Bronze Age, from around 3600 to 2350 BCE, with mud brick and packed earth ramparts, including, on the top of the tell, monumental ruins of an Iron Age II and Iron Age III periods, which are surrounded themselves by 3-metre-thick city walls. Since 2005, Dr. Stephen Collins and a team of archaeologists, students and volunteers from Trinity Southwest University, in conjunction with the Department of Antiquities of Jordan, have conducted full-scale excavations at the site of Tal al-Hammam. The excavations have also revealed refurbishment fortifications dated from the Intermediate Bronze and Middle Bronze Age periods, as well as Iron Age ruins with a chambered gateway and flanking towers. What most distinguishes the site from the others of its kind is the evidence that points to a remarkable resilience of the ancient city to the climate changes that occurred during the Levantine Early Bronze Age. In addition, and perhaps most mystifying of all, is the city-state's sudden destruction and demise at the end of the Middle Bronze Age, followed by 500 to 700-year-old gap when the site and its satellite towns remain completely unoccupied, while cities to the west, north and east continued into the Late Bronze Age. Time, further research and excavation may shed more light on this. Archaeologists plan to return to the site to continue excavations in January 2012. More detailed information about the Tal al-Hammam excavations can be found on their website. So if you just type in Tal, that's T-A-L-L, then E-L-H-A-M-M-A-M, then you'll find yourself at their website and be able to read all that's happening. I have to confess that I have a great soft spot for Jordan, so as soon as I finish this podcast, yes, you guessed it, I'm off to that website as well. Now, in Siberia, an ancient child burial site dating back to the Stone Age has been discovered in the Altai region. Excavations carried out by a local archaeological association led by scientist Yuri Gelmel near the town of Slavgorod also resulted in the discovery of a flint knife, which supposedly belonged to Scythian-era nomads. Among other finds was an earthenware pot and all the funeral attributes required for the burial. Researchers looking into human evolution have developed a new technique to study, more intrinsically, the movement of humans from Africa. The study, conducted by the Wellcome Trust Sanger Institute, has found that African and non-African populations continue to exchange genetic material well after migration out of Africa 60,000 years ago. 4 male genomes were sequenced and compared, one each from China, Europe, Korea and West Africa respectively. The new approach uses the whole sequence of single individuals rather than just a subset and relies on fewer assumptions. Using this technique, it allows the teams to capitalize on the revolution in genome sequencing and analysis from projects such as the Thousand Genomes Project. And as more people are sequenced, build a progressively finer detailed picture of human genetic history. The researchers discovered that although African and non-African populations began to differentiate as early as 100,000 to 120,000 years ago, they remained largely as one population until 60 to 80,000 years ago. Following this time period, the population of Europe and Eastern Asia ancestors dropped by 1/10 of its earlier size, overlapping with the period during which modern humans and artifacts appear across Europe and Asia. Now, here in Scotland, 2 experts from Wessex Archaeology believe that sites of ancient communities may lie submerged beneath the seas around the Western Isles of Scotland. A number of finds have already been made in the region, including the 12th century Lewis Chessmen found near Uig prior to 1831, and more recently in 2007, coins dating back to the 4th century CE, giving light to a far-reaching influence of the Roman Empire. Dr. Andrew Bickett is an expert in coastal geoarchaeology, and Dr. Jonathan Benjamin has just returned from test excavations at an underwater late Mesolithic site in Denmark. During the Mesolithic period, Britain was transformed from a peninsula into an island, possibly due to landslides in Norway, known as the Storga Slides. a massive tsunami. Sorry, that was terrible. A piece of terrible Norwegian there. A massive tsunami was triggered and water struck northeast Britain, travelling 40 kilometres inland. Low-lying plains would have been covered in water and turned to marshlands. The two believe that relics as old as 9,000 years old would have been protected by the island's long and sheltered lochs. If you want to actually learn a wee bit more about marine archaeology and what's happening around the coast of Scotland, well, Past Horizons has a fabulous article, also by Dr. Andrew Bickett, that you can find there just now. Just go to pasthorizonspr.com and then search for Bickett, B-I-C-K-E-T. Now, at least a bit of good news following the BP oil spill in the USA. During cleanup after the spill in the Gulf of Mexico, dozens of sites have turned up on the Caminada headland south of New Orleans, where archaeologists are finding human and animal bones, pottery and primitive weapons left behind by prehistoric Indian settlements. Clues about Gulf Coast mound dwellers more than 1,300 years ago. Lead archaeologist Larry Murphy said uncovering the sites represents a great leap in the cumulative knowledge about Native Americans in coastal Louisiana, who have been less studied than their counterparts in other regions. Louisiana State archaeologist Charles McGinsey said the extent of the oil damage to artifacts isn't known, but he doesn't expect it to be disastrous. Oil has contaminated some artifacts and can interfere with radiocarbon dating. Archaeologists believe the sites date to around 700 CE, well before the earliest known European contact in the area. So far, archaeologists have limited their examination scouring the beaches at low tide. They have found deer antlers that were probably used as spearheads, decorated pieces of pottery, and a garfish scale, which had been used as darts. Human bones have also been reburied in keeping with the wishes of the Chitimachas tribe, which has links to the ancient settlements. In Ethiopia, lake sediments are now revealing the history of African droughts. A new survey of Lake Tana, the source of the Blue Nile, suggests that drought may have contributed to the demise of the ancient Egyptian Old Kingdom around 4,200 years ago. The team, led by the University of Aberystwyth in Wales, used seismic surveys and sediment cores to work out the lake's water level and how it has varied over the past 17,000 years, then linking it to evidence for global climate change. Understanding how and why rainfall patterns change is particularly important for sub-Saharan Africa, where prolonged droughts have such serious social and economic consequences. The African Asian monsoon and the movements of the Intertropical Convergence Zone, the ITCZ, an area of erratic weather patterns where winds from the northern and southern hemisphere meet close to the equator, dominate the climate here. Seasonal movements of the zone can affect the strength of the monsoon and be traced in ancient lake sediments. Lake Tana is particularly good for this kind of research because it is close to the northern limit of the zone, so even a slight southward movement of the zone is reflected in the lake's geological history. The researchers' analysis of the sediments did reveal a distinct dry episode around 4,200 years ago. This would have lowered water levels in Lake Tana and reduced the flow of the Nile, interrupting the regular supply of fertile sediments to the Nile Delta. Archaeological evidence shows that the Old Kingdom was already beginning to wane. A reduced Nile flow could also have contributed to its demise. Now to South Devon in England, where a team of archaeologists are starting to excavate a Bronze Age roundhouse on Dartmoor. The dig in Bellaver will explore the entrance and exterior of the home. Previous excavations revealed that the roundhouse owners were pastoral farmers and uncovered a paved stone floor, post holes, which would have supported a roof and more than 150 shards of pottery. Oh, curse you. I have to say that we're a bit up in Scotland. Bit of a lack of pottery up here. So I'm very jealous of you finding 150 shards of pottery in one house. Anyway, bitterness aside, let's continue. Fragments of burnt oak have also been analysed, revealing it was occupied for about 400 years from 1600 BCE. In northern Italy now, a 5,000-year-old skeleton of a woman was recently found in the Aosta Valley. The Lady of Introd, as it has been nicknamed, was in perfect condition, but the archaeologists found no sign of any burial items, apart from the bones themselves. The tomb was discovered in a small alpine village of Introd. An archaeological survey made before a planned extension of a local kindergarten allowed archaeologists to discover the ancient burial. Human remains were found on a hill near the village. In that same area, there are also a castle, parish church, and a shack. The skeleton found at Introd is contemporary to Ötzi, the famous Iceman found 20 years ago. Regional cultural assessor Laurent Viran said the discovery is of great importance, and they're looking forward to organising special meetings in order to allow the local community to fully understand the value and the related historical information of such a find. That's really how it should be. The remains are now in a lab and they are being carefully studied to assess the cause of death. In any case, the children of the local kindergarten have been granted the right to choose the official name of their ancestor. I like that. Now, over in Australia, a project is currently underway at Lake Mungo, one of the oldest places outside of Africa to have been occupied by modern humans, to research the history of human settlement, past environmental change and landscape evolution that's occurred in the area. In the Willandra Lakes World Heritage Area, the work involves tracing back the history of human settlement to no less than 45,000 years. Lake Mungo is the site of the world's oldest known cremation as well, and ritual ochre burial, as well as having the longest trail of human ancient footprints ever found. Unfortunately, surprisingly, little is known about the people who actually lived there. So enter La Trobe University's paleolithic archaeologist Dr. Nicola Stern, who's trying to document how people lived by studying the archaeological traces in the Mungo Lunette. The Mungo Lunettes are half-moon-shaped sand dunes built from ancient layers of the Earth's surface, which have been called the Walls of China, a major enticement for visitors. Containing rich deposits of information, the lunettes have preserved hundreds of rare snapshot images of Australia's earliest history and provide a unique record of the ways in which the first settlers may have adapted to the changes to their climate over time. It's not the only scientific community who have longed for this work to be done. Elders from the region's Aboriginal tribal groups are also supportive of the project and are working in collaboration with Dr. Stern's team to monitor it. Now back to the US, and on March the 1st, 2011, David Hamill was driving a bulldozer at the Nolan Gulch gravel pit in Colorado when he unearthed a mammoth vertebra. He immediately stopped the excavation work and the Bureau of Land Management was called in. The BLM, or the Bureau of Land Management, manages the Nolan Gulch pit, but Saguchi County has a mineral material permit for the gravel pit. The BLM is committed to protecting any objects or sites of cultural, paleontological or scientific value from damage, destruction, removal, movement or disturbance. That just about covers it, I'd say. This includes the protection of historic and prehistoric sites. Anyway, moving back to the actual story. Experts from the Denver Museum of Nature and Science were notified, and Dr. Steve Holland and Dr. Rich Stuckey did a preliminary assessment of the site. Bones from 9 separate species of animals were found, including 2 mammoths, a camel, a rodent, 2 kinds of squirrels, a rabbit, and other small to medium late-sized Pleistocene epoch mammals. Sounds like a perfect stew that, actually. As well as 2 varieties of snails, getting tasty, which were also located in different layers. It appears that the mammoths and camels died somewhere else, were left exposed to the elements for 6 to 20 years, and then washed down into the pit. The bones are in a deteriorated condition because of exposure. The discovery of the snails is significant because they can only live in narrow, specified conditions, and so will provide information on the local environment at the time that they were alive. The team also mapped the geological strata in the gravel pit, and soil analysis is being done to tell us a little bit more about the climate. Now, I'm your old friends at AOC Archaeology in Scotland. Well, human remains have been found, including part of a skull and leg bones. This is during an Iron Age dig at a site near Caithness. The police and Procurator Fiscal Services, of course, were notified of the finds near Thrumster in Wick. This is normal procedure by archaeologists when we find archaeological remains, which are classed as human. The remains are still to be radiocarbon dated to determine how old they actually are. AOC Archaeology and Yarrow's Heritage Trust have been leading teams of 12 to 15 volunteers on the dig. Dr. Andy Heald of AOC Archaeology said they'd established the site held the ruins of a broch, a massive stone-walled Iron Age roundhouse. He said the bones found could be those of a man, or they could be those of a woman. But they have no idea on the date yet. I was just trying to wonder what, if it wasn't a man and it wasn't a woman, what we have there. Anyway, sorry about that, Andy. Dr. Heald also said that when skulls were found in the 19th century, people thought they had to do with cannibalism or were war trophies. Well, cannibalism is just nonsense, he says. He added there was another Caithness site at Whitegate where human remains, horses and even puppies were placed at the broch 300 years after it had been abandoned. It was done as some sort of memory ritual or for the monument, or for it to be a monument on the landscape. According to the Highland Council, Caithness has more brochs per square mile than any part of the world. More reason to head to the Scottish Highlands. Now, a story about a childhood dream come true. As an 8-year-old from Letchworth in Herefordshire in England, who was digging during playtime at the town of St. Christopher's School, and came across a 4.5-centimetre arrowhead just below the surface of a mound of soil dug up during the building of an extension at the school. After showing it to his teacher, the Year 4 pupil had the arrowhead examined by two archaeologists the next day, who believed the artefact could be more than 4,000 years old. Well, James, who has aspirations to become an archaeologist, said that it was a really exciting find, noting that it has the most interesting thing he's ever found. Well, hopefully at the age of 8, there's plenty of scope for more things there. North Hertfordshire archaeologist Keith Fitzpatrick Matthews, who assessed James's find, added that it looked like something from the early Bronze Age. The style, a barbed and tanged arrowhead, specifically designed during the Bell Beaker culture that spread through Western Europe between 2400 and 1800 BCE. Well, what are the chances of that? I can now tell James that we also found a barbed and tanged arrowhead from that period. So I know exactly how you feel. We felt pretty excited. And finally, into Japan. A carving of a dancing shaman has been found on ancient pottery shards unearthed years ago at an archaeological site at Amore, making it possibly the oldest depiction of a shaman on an artifact uncovered in Japan. The shard was originally uncovered in 1993 from an earth mound near the centre of Sanai Murayama archaeological site in the city of Amore, in the far north of the main island of Japan. The shard is supposed to date to the Middle Jomon period, around 4,300 years ago. Last month, a worker noticed that there was some sort of carving of a human on it. The shard is around 8 centimetres tall, 6 centimetres wide, and the shaman depicted as dancing, with a tool in one hand and feathers decorating the top of his head. Obviously had been at one of Rampart Scotland's parties. The carvings is around 4 centimetres tall and 3 centimetres wide and is thought to be made with a stick-like object around a millimetre in diameter. According to the Prefecture's Department of Protection of Cultural Properties, depictions of people and expressions of movement are very, very rare on Jomon pottery. Let's hope it's not the only one they find. And do not forget that our news is available on the iPhone, the iPod Touch and the iPod. So if you want to download the app, it's www.stonepages.com/app. And of course, lots of lovely graphic news and articles can be found at pasthorizons.com. You'll also, of course, find video sites and every archaeological tool you could possibly want. For my own part, I'm afraid I just get Badger. www.bajr.org. But there you can find archaeological opportunities in the UK, libraries and guidance sections, and, of course, the fabulous Badger Federation Forum. More, of course, can be found at Stonepages, news.stonepages.com, and it only goes for me to say thank you very much for listening to us this week. We hope you'll be listening to us again next week.